it's really about who can sort of minimize the mistakes and make the least amount of mistakes and just sail a really smart series.
For the best Olympics coverage, subscribe to the OTB Highlights podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
This is News Talk.
Tuesdays Off the Ball, it's day four of the Olympics. Lots going on. Simone Biles, perhaps the face of the Games in many ways, withdrew from a team final this morning, citing her mental well-being. Tara Sullivan of the Boston Globe will join us around 7:30. After 9 o'clock, Cliona Foley, she stayed up all night, frankly, watching Team Ireland, amongst other things. So Cliona Foley will join us as well after 9. 8 o'clock, we didn't get to the hurling yesterday. We will most certainly put that right this evening. Only one man for the job, Cyril Farrell, on a disappointing year for Galway. And then Andy Mitten with us as well, Manchester United. It would seem very much closing in now, and Raphael Varane, he's having a medical. United getting their business done nice and early this summer. 53106, the text number. We're at Off the Ball on Twitter. Richie McCormack, hello to you.
Hey, Joe.
Mr. Olympics, Adrian Barry, hello.
Hey, Joe, Richie.
So, interesting story this morning, to say the least. Adrian, Simone Biles, maybe the face of the Olympics, certainly one of them. And she was looking to make history at these games by winning 5 gold medals and therefore becoming the most decorated female Olympian of all time, the most goals. She pulled out of the team final, which was one of the events, obviously, of the 5, and afterwards spoke about her reasons why. So, in effect, she was saying she's just not feeling right in herself. She said, I've never felt like this going into a competition before. I needed to let the girls just go do it in the final and just focus on myself. Now, she hadn't been performing to her usual standards in the preliminaries. And she went on to say, at the end of the day, we want to walk out of here, not to be dragged out of here in a stretcher. I don't trust myself as much as I used to. And I don't know if it's age, but I'm a little bit more nervous when I do gymnastics. I feel like I'm also not having as much fun. And I know that. And she was asked about her main aim for the Olympics now. And she said, just to focus on my well-being. There's more important things to life than gymnastics, end quote. That is not what we were expecting from Simone Biles on day 4 of the Olympics. Extraordinary.
Really extraordinary. Yeah, and extraordinary that it happens at the Olympics as well, I think, isn't it? And she said that herself, that ideally this would be the sort of thing that didn't happen. It's unfortunate that it's happened at the Olympics almost, but I mean, look, unbelievable generational talent, isn't she? And what an ambassador she's been for her sport, for her country, for what an inspiration for young women around the world, for people of colour. She's, you know, still obviously trying to make sense of, I suppose, a lot of things that have gone on in her own life, that she's spoken very publicly about the abuse that she suffered at the hands of the USA team doctor Larry Nassar some years back. Horrific stuff. She was talking more recently about the ankle injury she's come through, the pressure, just the sheer pressure this week, even of, I think she was on Instagram during the week talking about having the weight of the world on her shoulders. When you put that sort of context around what's happened today, it starts to make a little bit of sense.
Yeah.
But tough.
Because when she's saying things like, I don't trust myself as much as I used to, and I don't know if it's age or not, but I'm a bit more nervous when I do gymnastics, that does sound as if, to some degree or other, she's almost lost her nerve a touch. And gymnastics, Richie, is not one of those sports where you want to flip up in the air and do several turns and risk landing on your neck if you're not feeling super confident. So extraordinary admission on her part. And I don't know. Can you suddenly turn that around for Thursday? I mean, if everybody wasn't watching her this morning, everybody's going to be tuning in Thursday to see how she's doing and what state she's in.
Yeah, and the pressure that the American athletes in particular, like her, are under, and like previously, say, someone like a Michael Phelps, is huge, because NBC are the big paymasters of the IOC. So essentially, the Olympics in their current form don't happen without NBC's billions being plowed into it every 4 years. And with that, NBC have a lot of say-so as regards when and how people are broadcast. So people like Simone Biles are, you know, their competitions are fixed so that they can be hoovered up by the biggest possible American audience. These TV companies obviously paint everything in a color of Simone Biles or in the color of a Michael Phelps and so on and so forth. It would have been like a Sha'Carri Richardson as well, had she qualified. in the sprints. But the pressure that that exerts is massive. What they've been through, as Adrian alluded to there, as USA Gymnastics as a whole over the past 5 years since Rio, is just immense. Like, I don't think anybody can really overstate what they've gone through in terms of the Larry Nassar case, and the public nature of that, and having to deal with everything that goes along with it is massive. And to see her today, I think she should absolutely be commended, because she took that decision as soon as she realized after the first apparatus that it wasn't going to happen for her. She had the, you know, fullness of thought and the awareness, self-awareness, to realize that she wasn't in the best mental frame to help her team. And that's how she framed it, certainly afterwards in the press conference, that she wasn't in the best mental state to help her team, because it's a team event. And she spoke really eloquently afterwards as well. I've got a clip of it coming up from the press conference that she had alongside her teammates. And she spoke really eloquently. She was really open about her mental health. And like some of the quotes that you mentioned there, she was really forthright in saying that, listen, it's only gymnastics. And there are people who might give out and say, well, they're Olympic Games, it's incumbent upon you to do this and to do that. It's like, no, it's incumbent upon everybody to look after their own head first. And if that's not right, then they aren't possibly fit enough to go out and perform on an Olympic stage. No more than you would be going out there with a dodgy knee or, you know, a dodgy arm or whatever. Her head wasn't right. She decided perfectly to pull out within her rights and spoke brilliantly about it afterwards.
Adrian Barry, what else is catching your eye at these games? The triathlon last night, the women's triathlon, was all kinds of carnage. There were 55 starters, only 34 finished. This was all kinds of crazy. The heat, there were crashes, the bike track was treacherous. It was treacherous. If you were lapped, obviously, as well, you got booted out as well. So it was unbelievably exciting watch. Carolyn Hayes, by the way, finished 23rd, which is a really, really good effort. 33 years old, Carolyn Hayes from Limerick. So she finished 23rd. And like I said, 34 finished of 55. I think I saw, did I see you tweeting about this? You were watching this as well?
Yeah, I was watching it last night. Yeah, it was great old stuff. And I, you know, you brought it up there, I started laughing and I nearly had to check myself, because it was grand to be laughing at from the comfort of your couch, but bloody hell, it was so obvious once they got onto the bikes, particularly. I was listening to yourself and Cliona talking about earlier on the Olympic show, and Cliona making the point about how choppy the swim was. And as you know, Joe, both you and I are veterans, obviously, of that specific discipline.
Yeah. I mean, I think we would have found that water okay, but for those Olympians not right. used to that kind of choppiness, it would have been a challenge, I would say.
Mere mortals. And it is easy to sit there and grin about it, but bloody hell, when they got onto the bikes, you just thought, finishing this race is going to be an achievement in itself. And that was exactly how it played out. And the falls were always going to be bad when they happened. And there was a couple of... I wondered, actually, watching it, could they have tweaked the course at all to reflect the fact that, like, you really shouldn't be putting athletes into hairbend turns when it's, like, glass underneath.
Totally.
I wondered if they could have done something a bit more about that.
Totally agree. As you said, there were, like, hairpin bends, right turns, right angles at every turn. And, like, this is just on the streets of Tokyo. So, I mean, there's the white road markings, which, you know, add a bit of water. And there was a lot of water added. And you're going around at a tight angle. You're just waiting for the wheels to go from underneath various cyclists. I was kind of... The sphincter was tightening as I watched all this unfold, Adrian, at every turn. And then, well, I mean... Shout out to two people. Flora Duffy, Bermuda's first ever
incredible
gold medal. So Bermuda, there's not a whatever being milked in Bermuda at the moment. I don't know. What's Bermuda famous for? There's not a tax
triangles.
Being paid.
No triangles.
Not tax being dodged. I don't know. Anyway. So Bermuda happy. And then Georgia Taylor Brown won silver for Team GB. So she hit a pothole on the bike. This is how dodgy this course was. She hits a pothole, puncture on the final lap, and just keeps on powering through. Keeps on cycling. Now, I mean, if I had a puncture, I tend to stop. Tends to take a lot of energy to cycle with a puncture. She powered on through, dropped to fifth, came back to take silver. Oh, yeah, that was just the women's triathlon. It was a lot.
It was great stuff. And Nathan actually put everybody onto the Nathan, who himself, as he said, knows a thing or two about crossing the line, as he put it, in a very, very delicately worded crossing the line in a triathlon, had put everybody onto the fact that over on Eurosport, they could fill in the ads. The ads were actually very frustrating last night. There was one that happened around the key point of the transition. Just the early leaders had come through from, was it the swim into the cycle, or maybe the cycle into the run, and the cut to ads. And like, that's that's a real crucial moment for veterans like you and I will know, Joe.
Yeah.
A real crucial moment in a race like that. And geez, couldn't ask. But anyway, there was over to the surfing we went, and all kinds of mayhem. Right? How do you even begin to judge the surfing, by the way? Like, I mean, I have no idea how all that goes on, but it was wild, wasn't it? It was like, it did not look like an Olympic surf course, but yeah, the whole thing was brilliant and treacherous, and I just couldn't understand why. Even like you mentioned about the white lines on the road, there was also like one turn particularly where at least two cyclists came off that was like a temporary cover over whatever would have been like TV cables or something like that.
Yeah,
I'm like, lads, I like, or even have one person, a steward there saying, like giving some kind of direction, or like, I don't know, it felt as if it was every woman for themselves. And it was very unfortunate. Like a third of the field was a clean imagine earlier on.
Yeah.
Crashing out, tough going.
Now, it was a bit amateur when you consider all the training that was put in. I thought the course wasn't great. Like, they've only spent a couple of gazillion billion on the whole thing. So, you know.
Yeah, that tends to happen, Joe, doesn't it? Like, they spend all this money on, I don't know what, like branding or something. I'm not sure. Right. And then nobody's really thinking about what the hell the course looks like.
Yeah.
Don't know.
I watched a bit more of the skateboarding, Richie. Still not having it.
Still not having it. Joe was watching today. I ended up, became absolute complete know-alls about this in the house as well. Synchro diving, the women's synchro diving was being broadcast on Eurosport 4 this morning.
Very good. And
I tell you what, though, Ryall Nugent had a hell of a day. He's clearly working for OBS during this. So I was doing the commentary for the triathlon last night. He then moved into the pool to do synchro diving. I mean, that is a man of the utmost versatility.
I know.
And to say as well, so a bit of a public service announcement as well. For those of you who are a bit kind of PO'd about the ads and all that kind of stuff, or maybe the BBC's lack of coverage, if you do have Sky, Eurosport have a bunch of extra channels for this. Like, they go from Eurosport 1 and 2, which are our regular ones. If you bail down into 983 onwards, you've got Eurosport 3, 4, 5, I think it goes up to 8. So they've got 10 channels, I think, operational all at once, usually showing different things live. So it's bouncing around 3x3 basketball this morning, synchro diving, bit of handball was going on in this house as well.
Yeah, it's been a hell of a time.
It's a great old time. It's great to have mornings off, Jeff.
Ryall Nugent in top form, by the way. I tweeted as much. I thought it was stellar commentary. And Lavinia Good with him, Australian. She was so, so good as well. She was fantastic. I couldn't work out. She was so good. I couldn't work out if she was a former triathlete or if she was just a full-time broadcaster. Because she was so smooth.
Yeah.
She was too smooth to be like just former triathlete, but then she was also way too knowledgeable. And speaking of first-hand experience, to be just broadcaster. I'd say she's probably a hybrid like me and Adrian when it comes to the triathlon.
Hybrid. She did make an odd kind of Jack Nienbaar type comment about the entirety of the Irish race at one point, which she suggested that we were all gamblers. I don't know if you picked up on that. She was like, "Oh, as an Irish person, you're betting me." I'm like, "What? Where did this stereotype come from?" But no, it was good. It was very good. He was struggling early on, and it must be very difficult to pick out the number of the cap when the swimmers would get off the blocks to start to try and pick out exactly who it was that was leading the way. But
yeah,
tough gig.
Well, listen, the man's commentating royalty, so he's on the world feed. I saw a lot of people giving out to him that he wasn't picking out Carlin Hayes at all times, and it was like, well, look, I can't just.
He tried his best. I could actually hear him. He was picking her out any time she appeared in that group three, especially on the bikes. He was trying to pick her out as often as he could. But if you're on the world feed, you're on the world feed. He's going out in like Singapore and the United States and God knows where else.
Yeah, I was wondering, could RTE have done like a ticker along the bottom to say where she was at all times? But
that's a good shout.
That's just my tuppence worth. Don't mind me. So let's start this news round.
For Paris, Joe.
Yeah, the news round is brought to you by Gillette. Put your best face forward with their new and improved razors. So let's kick off this news round. And you're starting with, of course, Mona McSharry. Eighth in the world ain't bad.
Yeah, it's pretty good. She placed eighth in the final of the women's 100-meter breaststroke this morning. The Sligo native was the first Irish swimmer since Michelle De Bruin to compete in an Olympic decider. Elsewhere in the pool today, two Irish records were broken. County Down's Daniel Whiffen set a new national best in winning his heat of the men's 800-meter freestyle. Sadly, his time wasn't enough to progress. While Jack McMillan set a new Irish 200-meter freestyle best in his leg of the 4x200-meter relay. Longford's Dara Green, meanwhile, was seventh in his heat of the 200-meter breaststroke and 23rd overall. Elsewhere, Aidan Walsh will box for at least a bronze on Friday. He's through to the welterweight quarterfinals after beating Albert Mengwe Ayisi of Cameroon today. Well, Kelly Harrington has learned of her first opponent in women's lightweight division. The Dubliner will face Italy's Rebecca Nicoli in Friday's round of 16.
Just on, say, Daniel Whiffen, who we breezed by there. And it's so easy to do so, because I had done so. 14th overall, he didn't make the final, he's from County Down. And you kind of think, okay, Mona McSharry, she's where it's at in the pool. Daniel, 14th, good try. I don't need to look into this any further. As you said, Richie, he broke an Irish record in the 800 metre freestyle. And he said as well, I'm ecstatic. I got a personal best on the biggest stage possible. I came out top in my personal race, which was his heat. It's the Olympics and I'm happy to be here. I rebroke my old Irish senior record, which is incredible. I've dropped 20 seconds this year, which is a lot. And you kind of think, oh, that 14th and that performance at the Olympics is actually fantastic. So I guess you got to judge everybody within their own context. So it turns out Daniel Whiffen, who we breezed by in 14th, has had an outstanding games. That's kind of the nature, I guess, of a lot of the Irish at the games.
Same as someone like Ellen Walsh, who won her heat earlier on in the week. Like, that will be absolutely immense for her. Post a decent time, she knows where she is coming into the games. She knows where she absolutely is coming out of them. And she has won a race at the Olympic Games. And there ain't too many people can say that.
Yeah. So then on the water, better news for Annalise Murphy, and then especially good news for another pair.
Yeah, they have a long way to go, but a decent start for Robert Dixon and Sean Wadlove, saying they couldn't have asked for a better start in the 49er sailing. They won the first of 12 races with the second pushed back until tomorrow. That's due to the weather in Tokyo, which you alluded to there as well. Annalise Murphy has vowed to fight until the end in the laser radial. The 2016 silver medalist has kept her hopes alive of going through to that medal final with two top 10 finishes today. Murphy's now up to 20th position overall after six races, four more races to come on top of that medal race, which we hope, fingers crossed, she might find a way into. The Rugby Sevens team, meanwhile, will play Kenya in the 9th and 10th place playoff, despite wins over the same opposition, and indeed Korea this morning. They missed out on a quarter final place.
Yeah, they were 12-0 up on Kenya. They needed to win by 8, and there was about a minute and a half to go, and they conceded a try, so that would go down as, I think, a sickener is the official term. So you have that Simone Biles audio now?
Yes, she says she pulled out of today's team gymnastics event to protect her mental health. She withdrew after the first apparatus with her United States teammates eventually claiming silver behind Russia. Biles says she was taking the step of putting the team and her mental health first.
Yeah, I say put mental health first, because if you don't, then you're not going to enjoy your sport and you're not going to succeed as much as you want to. So it's okay sometimes to even sit out the big competitions to focus on yourself, because it shows how strong of a competitor and person that you really are, rather than just battle through it.
Yeah, good honor. It's amazing. We'll talk to Tara Sullivan 7:30. I saw a tweet from somebody, got like a gazillion likes. I don't know what it was, but it was like Simone Biles gave up an Olympic final for her mental health. I can't even quit Twitter. So it is a big thing to give up. I mean, she had a shot at history here to win 5 goals, and she passed up on that chance. Russia, by the way, won the team event. USA finished second, so she still got a silver medal. Russian Olympic Committee. I couldn't think of the name. They've had a half dozen different names down the years. Russian Olympic Committee. How many Russian Olympic Committee members are there at the games? Do they have a big contingent, or did each, from memory, each member had to be like tested and shown to be beyond reproach? So I haven't looked into that. We should do a piece actually on the Russian Olympic Committee and how they're getting on at these games. So we'll talk Simone Biles with Tara Sullivan later on. And then shout out to the Kinsellas.
Yeah, if ever there was a medal that Ireland can actually claim at these Olympics, it's this one. The Great Britain team that took bronze in that women's team event contains Alice Kinsella, daughter of former Ireland midfielder Mark, while the Gadrivovic twins, Jennifer and Jessica, were both born in Dublin. So 3 out of 4, technically, on that team are Irish.
Well done, us, eh? And I was being ironic before someone texted in when I said Kinsella. So the Lions then, they've named their team. Jeez, Lions well down the list here, Richie.
Yeah, 7 gold, 7 silver, 4 bronze so far, by the way, for Russia and Olympic Committee. Not Russia.
Give us that again.
Seven gold, 7 silver, 4 bronze so far for the non-Russians.
Oh yeah, they're in fourth actually. So that's 18 medals altogether. Japan are top with 10 golds, 18 medals altogether. USA 9 goals, but they have 25 medals, the US, and then China are there as well. So Japan, USA, China, Russian Olympic Committee, and Great Britain 5th. All the big boys.
Russian Olympic Committee, by the way, have the classiest anthem at the Olympics, because they can't obviously use the Russian anthem.
Right.
So instead, a segment of Tchaikovsky's Piano Concerto No. 1 is being played.
Wow.
Instead of the anthem, which is just, it's a nice little break from everything else that's going on when you hear that being played on the podium. Elsewhere, The Lions and the Springboks have each made three changes to their starting 15s for Saturday's second test. Conor Murray, Chris Harris and Mako Vunipola replace Ali Price, Elliot Daly and Rory Sutherland. Tulubay Faletau, meanwhile, is introduced to the Lions bench. For the Box, they make a change at number 8 with Quagga Smith replaced by Leicester's Jasper Visa. And in the front row, Stephen Kitchoff and Franz Mallerby come in for the injured Oxen Che and Trevor Nyakane. Lions head coach Warren Gatland today was asked if Murray's introduction was purely born of necessity for experience.
You know, again, he was good when he came on. It's going to be tight in that first 20 or 30 minutes. You know, the way that South Africa tend to play, if you look at the two games, you know, the A game and this game, is that they try and build a scoreboard. They try and get in front and then look to hold on. So, you know, that first 20 or 30 minutes is pretty important for us. And then, you know, we've been happy with the way that we've finished, particularly in the second half in both those games, and felt strong. And you know, potentially the game might open up in the tempo of the game, which is something that we think Ali can bring, you know, maybe in that second half, and same with the other players that are on the bench.
Warren Gatland there. We'll have Ron O'Gara, by the way, tomorrow, 7:30 on Wednesday Night Rugby, slightly earlier time than usual, so O'Gara's thoughts tomorrow. And then let's get to the press conference everybody was far more interested in.
Yeah, Springboks director of rugby, Razzy Erasmus, also faced the media today alongside his head coach, in inverted commas, Jack Nienaber. He was asked if he's the man behind the mysterious yet incisive Jaco Johann's Twitter account that he's been so fond of retweeting.
No, I'm actually not Jaco Johann. I'm Johann Erasmus. I actually follow Jaco Johann. He's a big supporter of us. And he's been feeding me some really good clips and for a while now, some really good things that I actually used in the past. So he's a very big supporter, a really funny guy. And I quite enjoy the things that he does. Why I'm so active on Twitter, I retweeted about 2 or 3 tweets that I really thought was accurate. And then, I tweeted twice just for a simple reason. You know, as director of rugby, we do have the medical department is part of our department, and there's a program called Box Smart. And the one tweet was just, you know, I thought the way Chesden was picked off the ground, while it could have been a serious injury, you know, we teach our primary school children from any, age or level, that you leave a player as he is there, because it is dangerous. You know, we wouldn't like our Springbok players this Saturday to go and every Lions player that's down on his back to go and pick him up. And I thought that was an important one to get out there while we had the opportunity. I just thought the other tweet was just, the Lions really, I thought, deserved to win. You know, they're going through the same protocols as us, same COVID protocols, they're far away from home. So I think it was only those two tweets. And then obviously, you know, I did retweet a few things that, a few guys that I thought were spot on.
So look, Adrian, if Friday's OTBAM don't have Jaco Johann on, you're just not trying.
Yeah, there is a big, we've got a bid in for him, Joe.
Hi, it's Razzy. I mean, Jaco here.
Yes, that's right. It's taken on such a, I'm loving this, by the way. I'm really loving
it. I find it all a little bit like.
Oh, it's the colour of the lines, Joe. It is absolutely the colour of the lines. The pressure is on. You have a huge storyline here about some burner account, Jaco Johann, that Razzy Erasmus thinks is a hilarious guy. That he's given him some great laughs over the years. He's tweeted twice, and both of them have been like these exceptionally edited, like really well put together clips of rugby with like highlights and markers and all sorts of stuff that you really would want to know what you're doing to piece together. And like they've been, those two tweets have been in the last 10 days. Like it's kind of mad stuff. So I don't know that I wondered about that. Like, you would definitely DM that guy at some point, wouldn't you? You'd be like, oh, hey, Jaco, listen, thanks many for your support. What's your story? So I'd love to know, like, you know, if somebody's going to get a real scoop here that they get this egg account, Jaco Johann, whoever he is. But I do love it. I really did. There's great juice and chat and intrigue, and it's all ultimately just a bit of crack. Like, it's, and also shows a little bit of pressure on Razzy Erasmus, like that he has to be. I was listening to with interest to Rory O'Connor last night talking about it. And how unusual the whole thing is, but like for me, it's just a sign of the pressure that's on the man.
Yeah. I saw there was a Jaco Johann in the virtual press conference. There was a picture of it.
But yes,
some smart-ass journalist may have changed their Zoom account's name, which is nice.
Weird. Like, I had a rattle through his favourites there, or his likes, or whatever they're called now, last night. And there aren't many. Yeah. But if you go back, the first one is of a random Munster update from a match against Treviso in 2014 when Razzie was in charge there. And then suddenly they all switch to Springbok-related likes around about 2018 when Razzie leaves. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can make of that what you will.
We can. Fellas, we are out of time. Thanks very much. Richie, thank you.
Cheers, lads.
Adrian Barry, enjoy the Olympics this evening.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Joe.
Alrighty. So that is the news round. Before we go to Tara Sullivan of the Boston Globe, competition time for you. So earlier on today, Roy Thomas from Ennis won himself €5,000.
Roy, come here to me. Did you enter a competition to win our bank holiday bonus?
I did, yeah.
Interesting. Well, we've picked your number at random. You answered your phone within five rings. You answered the question correctly. So Roy, you've just won €5,000.
Jeez, you're joking, no?
No, I'm not joking at all.
Jesus Christ.
Roy, congratulations. €5,000 is all yours.
Thanks very much.
Good man, Roy. Enjoy it. So another chance to win between now and 5 o'clock tomorrow. All you have to do is answer one question correctly and we could be calling you on the hard shoulder tomorrow evening. Answer within five rings and you could win the bank holiday bonus. If you don't get the answer, then we'll roll the cash over to the next day. So, to be in with a chance of winning tomorrow, just tell us. Wrestler turned actor Dwayne Johnson is better known as A, Stone Cold, or B, The Rock. Text the word play, followed by A or B. Send it to 57599. Entries cost €2.50 plus your standard message rate. You must be over 18 years of age or 18 to enter. And you're playing across the Go Loud network. You'll find full terms and conditions on newstalk.com. So the word again, play, followed by A or B to 57599 by 5 o'clock tomorrow for your chance to win the €5,000. And just stand by to take the call after within five rings after 5 o'clock. And then the 5K bank holiday bonus could be yours. We're talking to Tara Sullivan next.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.